Greetings. You know it's summer whenever you see most people are gone, right? Well, praise God. Okay, well, it's good to be back here, and just want to say greetings to everyone that's here today and all those that are online, and perhaps we could just go ahead and pray before we start. I'm sure we have stragglers coming through here yet, but I'm not sure who. I know that anytime summer comes, you have people taking vacation. You have people getting all caught up with this, that, and the other. So just give it all to the hands of God. Amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we know that you are here. And we thank you, Lord God, for thy presence, thy sweet presence, oh Lord God. The fragrance, oh Lord God, of your character. The fragrance of your purity. Lord God, for your holiness reigns true forever and ever. We thank you, Father God, that you are that compass, that rock, that we can look to for direction, for hope, for strength, for faith. Oh, Lord God, and we give you all the praise, glory, and the honor. Thanking you, Lord God, now today for leading, guiding, and directing our footsteps, oh Lord. For helping us to walk by faith and not by sight, Lord God. Because truly the walk of faith is faith. And that faith is looking into the eyes of Jesus and accepting and trusting in him and not worrying about all the waves and the winds around us, but to have faith and trust and hope, confidence in the one true God, holy and above all else, the one who shed his blood for you and me. Oh, we thank you, Father God, for that blood of Christ and for that precious blood that you shed, that promise that you gave us. Oh Lord, that the name written in that book of life, oh Lord God. Oh, what could we do without you, Lord? We would be lost and undone for sure. We thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. By faith, we pray, under the blood, in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise God. The Lord is good and greatly to be praised. Amen.
Amen.
Honorable. I praise God for him right now. And I know that it's good to be back on that trip. We were gone for 11 days and we had a chance to get out to down south a little bit, out east, down into Tennessee, as we had a chance to pray for our brother in Christ, Brother Lance, who is right now struggling with his life to hang on. He's been dealing with some kind of a cancer thing, but we prayed for him, and I know that the Lord was there as we prayed. You could really feel the Lord's presence, and whatever the Lord decides to do in his perfect will, he'll do. We can't control oftentimes anything at all. Anything we do is by faith, and we just trust God for the outcome, and all we can do is hope for the right thing to happen all the time, and trust God that, you know, whatever he's going to do in his life, it's going to be for his good. And I know it would be, because Brother Lance has served God for what, how long has it been?
Oh, wow.
45, 50 years?
Must be.
He's been preaching.
Probably, yeah.
And we had a chance to pray for his son-in-law, Joe, also, and that was a neat thing too. And Joe, he seems to be a little bit on the mend, recovering somewhat. He's got some kind of cancerous issue, I think, and something in the colon. I don't know quite, is that right? Or the stomach?
They weren't quite sure what that was.
Yeah, so they're taking some kind of a microscopic view, doing some kind of a lens, and doing tests with him, and he's down to a 28-inch waist, so he's lost a lot of weight. He was 210 pounds before he had this issue, so he's lost a lot of weight. And so we'll just keep them both in prayer and asking the Lord to just do a work in their lives. We had a chance to do many other things. Of course, probably now is not the time for me to go over all of it, but suffice it to say, we had a wonderful trip, and getting down into Harlan, Kentucky, eastern Kentucky in the mountains was probably one of the more notable areas, as well as Niagara and Chattanooga, Tennessee, and other areas we had a chance to get into, and it's just been a good trip. So, praise God. Why don't we go ahead and get into the songs and worship and praising the Lord today, and just giving God all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. Amen?
Amen.
If we could go now to the chorus book. And by the way, it's good to see Bill and Sue all the way from California. It's a wonderful thing to see you guys here, and good friends and wonderful folk, and good to see everyone else here. And we're still waiting on folks to come here yet today, and just looking forward to more services together, Sundays, Wednesdays, or whenever we can get together. People can make it when they can make it, and those that come from afar are able to come, we praise God for that too, and it's just a wonderful thing to behold. Amen.
Amen.
So let's sing that song 156, If We Walk in the Light. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from sin. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from sin. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light. Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise
your holy name, O Lord God. Thank you,
Jesus.
Praise God in heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, the Lord is good, isn't He? The Lord is so faithful, even when we are not. Isn't that right?
That's right.
True and faithful and a good friend. Oh, praise God for that.
Amen. Praise you, Jesus.
And you know, that's the kind of friend that we can count on. The kind of friend that will give you that kind of peace and that kind of joy that you can't find anywhere else.
Praise you, Lord.
You know, it's wonderful to know that, and it's a principle I've always learned in my life, not to really do anything unless it's based on principle. And one of these principles that I have learned is to follow after peace. It's like a compass. You know how the hand of a compass finally settles on true north? And so it is with the heart of man. It cannot find true peace without Jesus Christ.
That's right, amen.
Sitting on the sides of the north.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
So let's go to that song, number 247 in the hymn book called Wonderful Peace. We'll sing that together, and we'll give all the praise and the glory and the honor to Jesus, that true spiritual friend of ours who gives us that peace. In the depths and in the crevices of every trouble, every problem in life, but there is the Lord. Somehow, some way, when your back is against the wall and you think you have no more hope, you think that you've gone too far, you've said too much or you've done too much, but yet when you surrender your life to God, then you begin to see and feel that peace. Amen.
Praise you.
Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than song. In celestial like strains it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. Coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul. So secure that no power can mine it away, while the years of eternity roll. Wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. I am rest tonight in this wonderful peace, resting sweetly in Jesus' control. For I'm kept from all danger by night and by day, and His glory is flooding my soul. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows above. And methinks when I rise to that city of peace, where the answer of peace I shall see, that would strain of the song which the ransomed will sing, in the heavenly kingdom shall be. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Ah, son, are you here without comfort or rest, marching down the rough pathway of time? Make Jesus your friend ere the shadows grow dark. Oh, accept this sweet peace so sublime. Peace, peace, oh wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit, forever I pray, in fathomless billows above. Oh, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit, forever I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Oh, praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you,
Jesus Christ, oh Heavenly Father. Oh, for the blood of Christ shed on the cross. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praising your name today, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to your precious and living God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord God in heaven, for all that you're doing in every heart, every mind, every soul, every spirit, oh God. Lead, guide, and direct the way. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Put some light on the subject here.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, praise God. You know, now we're in, where was it? Niagara Falls. And walking down in the city street in Niagara there. And we were handing out tracts. Shirley was at the falls over there, and I wanted to go. And I had to try to get some film for my, or a battery for my camera. Only to find out that I had gotten the kind of camera that needed to be recharged instead. So I couldn't find the right recharging equipment at that time. I had just had to wait. So I used that time to hand out tracts and talk to people about the Lord. And as I was walking down the street, one of these areas, I saw this Unitarian church. And it said, all Catholics, Buddhists, Christians, welcome. There are no faith beliefs required. No belief systems. You can come in, believe whatever you want, do whatever you want. And I looked at that sign and I thought, now, isn't that just the epitome of what's going on today, in today's world? Isn't that the mindset of people everywhere?
Yeah.
And at about that time, a lady had walked by and I reached into my pouch and I grabbed a witnessing. Things that you just wrote,
coming
that brochure. Huh?
Coming as a thief.
Coming as a thief, that's the one. And I handed that out to her and she says, no thanks. If it's anything religious, I don't want nothing to do. I got a modern mind. I can think. So what she was trying to tell us was that if you're a Christian, you don't know anything at all. But the opposite is true, because we know we can do all things in Christ. And we know we have wisdom and understanding through the only one who has wisdom and understanding. When you have a relationship with the one that created the world, and you have a walking, working, faithful relationship with the Lord, He gives you that kind of wisdom. He gives you that understanding that no man can give you. This worldly wisdom is full of holes. It's full of error. It's full of wrong thought. And they don't know what they believe. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they are, what they've become. And they're lost and undone. They don't even know it. But then there are those that received it. I was walking down further. They had this stand for this wireless connection Verizon phone thing. And I happened to see a man there. There was a big crowd of people just sitting around that wireless phone connection. Verizon phone. And I walked over to this one man, and I know the perfect wireless connection that you and I both can have. And that's in that prayer closet with God. And I handed him a track. That's the perfect wireless connection that I can think of. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
And we know that there is a God who can hear. I know whom I have believed. What about you? What about all those on the street? What about me? We need to look in the mirror, all of us, and say, do I know the one Savior who died for my sins? Do I really know Him? But at page 278 in the hymn book, there's a song called, I Know Whom I Have Believed. And you know, we can all have that faith to know Him, to love Him, to obey His voice, to walk in His Spirit. Amen. That's when you know whom you have believed. When you can do those things. Amen. So let's go to 278 and sing that song. And just ask the Lord that His Holy Ghost would fill all our hearts today with His life-saving knowledge and love, compassion for everyone around us. That's when you know that you love the Lord. That's when you know that you know who the Lord is in your life. When you are able to love those around you. Amen.
Praise you, Lord.
So let's go there. Me He has made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for His own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me He did impart, nor how believing in His word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, one faith in Him. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me. The weary ways are golden days before His face I see. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night
for noonday fare, nor if I'll walk with a veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed in, that he is a which I've committed unto him against that day. But I know whom I have committed, that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Sometimes I just lose the words. I lose focus. Forgive me on that.
God, thank you. Praise your name, Jesus.
Praise God. And I'm hoping that we can go to number 291 now in the hymn book. It's called Revive Us Again. And how we need to be revived over and over again.
Yes,
you know,
we need that.
You know, there's a great fallacy in Christendom today. People think that once saved, always saved. They think that when you once raised your hand when you were a school kid, out in the back country of some small town in America, that somehow you're saved forever. But you know, you have to prove your faith to God.
That's right.
We have to walk it out.
That's right.
We need to be revived. We need to be sanctified. You know, just because a person raises their hand doesn't make them a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a cheeseburger. Hey, we have to prove our faith by Him.
Amen.
We have to prove that by the Lord. How we act, what we say, what we do, our conduct. Are we changed? Or are we the same old, same old, same old person that we thought we were before we gave our lives, or supposedly, to the Lord? So we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's what changes everything.
Amen.
When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, that's when you know you have life coming into you. That's true life. That's that living water that the Lord talked about. That living water that bubbles up in you. That gives you that excitement. Gives you that newness of life to walk in and day out. That's the same kind of Spirit, the Holy Ghost, that will renew your mind day in and day out by the reading of the renewing of the Word of God in your mind and in your heart. By the reading of the Word of God. And you see, you know that you have the Spirit of God when you walk in the Spirit of His Word. When you're able to walk it out. Don't just tell me you're a Christian. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about someone just telling me, I'm a Christian. Show me. Prove it. Don't tell me about it. Get real sick and tired of that, don't you?
Yes.
I want to see a sermon. I don't want to hear it.
That's right.
So, this is what we need, to be revived again by the Holy Ghost. And none of us are perfect. No one is ever perfect until we make it to heaven. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Nobody ever arrives until we get there. So let's go there. And you know, the thing is, we're always a work in progress. We're all a work in progress. And we all work and strive to enter into the straight gate. That's our goal. My goal and your goal is to make it into heaven. It's not about some kind of a job, is it? some kind of a career. That's not a goal. No, my goal in life is to make it into heaven. Praise God. So let's sing this song, Revive Us Again. And good to see these folks coming in today. And greetings to you. Praise God. What's your name?
Gene
and Brian. Nice to meet you. Carl. Praise God.
Carl's.
Amen.
And stepmother.
And everyone else, good to be here. Good to see you all. So let's sing that song, Revive Us Again. Amen. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for the Spirit of life, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who was born all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God in heaven.
Oh, Lord, we worship you and praise you, God. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Oh, praise God. Well, we'll go ahead and take up our collections now. I just wonder if I couldn't have either Matthew or Bill take up the collection plate for me. One of y'all, would you be gracious to do that? And we'll go ahead and do this. And anybody have any prayer requests or anybody have anything that they want to share, please raise your hand. Amen. Please feel free to raise your hand.
Praise you, Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Well, I just want to say that it's great to be back after being gone for 11 days and good to see all the wonderful folks that are here today. Everyone here is precious in the sight of God. Did you know that?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Everyone here has a purpose. If we could all just hang on to that by faith and believe it. Just believe it. Dare to believe. And trust God. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you, Father God, for these tithes, these gifts, and these offerings. That you would help us, though, Lord God, to continue to be good stewards of what you've given us. This we pray under the blood in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Brother.
Thank you.
Sam's coming up. Praise God. All right.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it is so good to be here this morning, and I know today is Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. It's always kind of a strange day for me now, since my dad has gone on to his reward, but it's also a good day to honor our Father in heaven as well.
Oh, amen.
Praise the Lord. Of course, we should do that every day.
But for sure.
Anyway, what I'd like to do... Something I've wanted to do for a while. I'd like to do a study on the story of Joseph, which is a remarkable story. And you know, I was seeking the Lord, wondering what I should do. And this is a little bit intimidating because there's so much to cover. There are so many verses, so many chapters that cover the story. And I'm hoping I can get it all done today. If not, maybe I'll continue it the next time I'm up here, but we will give it a shot and see if we can get this done today. I know the other day I was over here and I was waiting for Charter Communications to finish an install on a new phone system, and I opened up my Bible and I opened right up to Genesis chapter 37, which is where we're going to be starting today. And that just seemed like a little confirmation that, yes, this is what we're supposed to do today, so... Before we do that, though, I would like to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to gather in thy name. We thank thee for this opportunity to study thy holy word. I ask that thou wouldst open our minds, open our eyes, and open our ears, that we may see and hear and perceive and understand thy holy word and what thou wouldst have us to learn. I ask this and pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
All right, now we have a lot of ground to cover today, but you know, this is actually one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I know I say that about most of the stories in the Bible, they're all good, but I remember when I was a little boy, my parents gave me a Bible, and I was reading it, and I was reading the book of Genesis, and I was so drawn to this story of Joseph that I remember I stayed up until 1 a.m. reading just so I could finish it. And that's how the Word of God is sometimes. You just can't put it down.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is one of the most remarkable stories in the entire Bible, in my opinion. It's of great importance. And we'll talk about why that is in a little while. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 1, it tells us, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the daughters of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report." Now, as you may recall, Jacob, he worked for Laban for several years, because he wanted to marry his daughter Rachel, and of course he tricked her, and he ended up marrying Leah first, and then he had to work longer, and then he got Rachel finally, the one he wanted from the beginning there, and he had two children by Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin, and he loved those children the most of all his children, and of course we'll see because of that that there was some jealousy amongst Joseph's brethren there, and it ended up being a very serious situation. "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors." I remember when I was a little boy, I drew a little picture of Joseph in his coat of many colors, and I actually sold it to my dad for a quarter, and he had that right by his desk for a lot of years. I think that was the first and last time I was ever paid for art. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. So we'll see jealousy is a very serious matter. It can actually cause you to hate your brethren, which is something you never want to do. And that applies to your Christian brothers and sisters as well. Never to hate your fellow Christians. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Now, you can't help what you dream. And this this dream was actually from the Lord. And they just hated him all the more for that. And they asked, "Are you going to reign over us?" And actually, he would. They were going to bow down before him. But they had no idea yet that that was going to happen. But this is a remarkable story. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told his brethren, and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And actually they would one day. And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. That's kind of interesting, because even though his father rebuked him for the dream, it says his father observed the saying, which means he took note of it. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them." And he said to him, "Here am I." And he said to him, "Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again." So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. So his father decided to send Joseph out just to check up on his brothers and make sure everything was okay. You know, a nice thing to do, just to get a status report. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" And he said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." And the man said, "They are departed hence, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Ooh, now we have a little conspiracy. I know that the word conspiracy is often a dirty word. People don't want to believe in conspiracies, but the fact of the matter is there are conspiracies out there. That's the way the devil operates. It's always been the way he's operated. In fact, there was a conspiracy against Jesus to crucify him. That's a prime example of a conspiracy. And there are other conspiracies in the Bible as well. If there's a devil, it stands to reason that there would be a conspiracy. So that's just how the devil has always operated. I know these days if you say that you believe in any conspiracies or that you think there might be a conspiracy, people just write you off as a nut. But there are, in fact, conspiracies out there. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him in." Pardon me. "Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. So now, they despised their brother so much that they wanted to kill him, throw him into a pit, all because of some dreams that he had. That was some very serious jealousy. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. Of course, Reuben, he obviously had some sense. He didn't want to kill his brother. In fact, he was actually planning to come back later and bring Joseph out of that pit. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. So we see there that Reuben was actually planning to come back for him. Of course, what would have been better is to just tell his brothers that they were being crazy and that they shouldn't hurt their little brother. But sometimes when you get a little mob together, you get the peer pressure going, and you go along with things that you shouldn't go along with. It's another thing to watch out for in our lives. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Now we see here Judah didn't want to kill his brother either, but he didn't know of Reuben's plans, so he came up with a plan of his own. He probably thought that it would be better to sell his brother into slavery rather than see him dead, which I suppose is true, but it's still a horrible thing to do to your little brother. I mean, I know growing up, my older brother picked on me sometimes, but nothing like this. Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. So they all agreed to do that. And, you know, they probably figured, well, we can sell him and get a little money on top of that too. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? So Reuben, he didn't know that Joseph had been sold. He was obviously very distraught. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. Of course, it was his son's coat. It was a coat of many colors. There probably weren't too many of those around, and they knew that, but they were very cruel. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. It's really amazing the grief his sons were willing to put Jacob through just because they were jealous of Joseph. They knew that Joseph wasn't dead, and yet they let their father think that he was. It's a very, very cruel thing to do. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. That's really something, you know. His sons knew what they had done. They knew what had become of Joseph. And yet, they actually tried to comfort their father all the while knowing what had just transpired. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. So, Joseph was sold into slavery, and that seems like a very horrible thing, and I'm sure it was very distressing for Joseph. I'm sure it was very hard for him to understand and comprehend what was happening to him at that time. But there was a plan in place. God was going to take this evil and use it for good. We will see that in the subsequent chapters. And of course, you know, Satan, he was trying to destroy this family because he knew the promises that God had made, and he knew that someday from this family a Messiah would come forth, and Satan did not want that to happen. And of course, we know that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand, so Satan wanted to divide this family up and destroy it. But it wasn't going to work. Let's go now to chapter 39. Chapter 39 continues the story of Joseph. Joseph is now living in Egypt, and he's serving under a man named Potiphar, who was an official, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard in Egypt. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. You know, even though Joseph had been betrayed by his brothers and sold into slavery, the Lord was with him. The Lord never left him. And Joseph, no matter where he went, the Lord prospered him and helped him. And he will do the same for you. Satan kept trying to destroy Joseph. Numerous things happened to Joseph in an attempt to destroy him, but none of it worked. Joseph continued to prosper. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. The Lord was really with Joseph, obviously. Here he had been sold into slavery, and all of a sudden he's overseeing Potiphar's house. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. That means he was good looking. Which sort of became a problem for him a little bit, as we'll see in this chapter. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So Potiphar's wife, she had set her eyes upon Joseph. She decided she wanted him. But Joseph would have none of that. Of course, there are a lot of men today who probably would have taken her up on her offer. Unfortunately, but Joseph wouldn't do that. And he knew that it would actually be a sin against God to do so, and that's why he refused. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. She just wouldn't give it up. Day by day, she'd keep trying to get Joseph to do what she wanted, but he refused. He was a man of integrity. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And there was none of the men of the house there within. Uh-oh. Now he's alone in the house with her. That's not a good situation to be in if you're Joseph. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. You know, sometimes when you're faced with temptation, the best thing you can do is flee. Get out of that situation as quickly as possible. Unfortunately for Joseph, she had caught him by his garment, and part of his garment was left in her hand, and we'll see here that that had dire consequences. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice." Of course, we know that's a lie. She's the one who wanted him to lie with her, but he didn't want to. He refused. And now she's being spiteful. This was clearly a very, very wicked woman. "And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison." So Joseph had done nothing wrong, but now he found himself in prison. It's hard to imagine what must have been going through Joseph's head at that time. You know, he was thrown into a pit by his brothers, and he was sold into slavery, and now he's in prison, accused of something he didn't do. But the Lord was with him, and the Lord was going to help him through this situation. "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." You know, everywhere Joseph went, they put him in charge. He must have been quite a guy. And now he's in prison, and he's put in charge of the prison. So that's really something. God was really with him, and everywhere he went, he prospered. Even though Satan tried so hard to destroy him. Chapter 40. "And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them inward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season inward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man in his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream. The butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which was bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad." They were sad because they had dreams and they didn't know what they meant. I can kind of relate to that. I've had some dreams myself sometimes, and didn't always understand them, and sometimes that can make you a little sad. "And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." Now, God had given Joseph great insight. Not only had Joseph dreamed dreams, but he was also able to interpret them. And of course, there are striking parallels here to Joseph's life, to Daniel's life also in the book of Daniel. A lot of similarities there. "And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, In my dream, Behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, after the former manner when thou wast his butler. So Joseph had good news for the butler. He was going to be restored to his former position and continue to serve Pharaoh. So he has a small request for this man. It tells us in verse 14, But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. So Joseph was just hoping that this man would put in a kind word for him to Pharaoh. Sadly, this man forgot about Joseph after he was released from prison. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And the uppermost basket there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. So he saw that the other dream had a happy ending, so he thought, well, maybe this will be a good dream too. But that was not the case. And Joseph answered and said, This is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. So that was not the result that the baker was hoping for. I'm sure he was very dismayed to hear that. And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Although the chief butler forgot Joseph, God did not forget about Joseph. He was with Joseph even still. And there was a day coming when Joseph would become a powerful man in the kingdom of Egypt. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. And behold, he stood by the river. So now Pharaoh is having a dream. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed. And they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke. And that was a very strange dream and a little disturbing, so I can understand why Pharaoh awoke. And he slept and dreamed the 2nd time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon 1 stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. So I'm sure at this point Pharaoh was very perplexed. He wanted to know what this was all about. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Very similar situation to what happened to Daniel. And of course, these dreams that Pharaoh had were from the Lord. And his magicians could not interpret them. His wise men, which is kind of a misnomer, they could not interpret these dreams. So they probably did not seem very wise at that particular moment. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Now he remembers Joseph. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me inward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment, and came in unto Pharaoh. Joseph finally got out of that dungeon. I'm sure Pharaoh was desperate, and he wanted to know what this Hebrew had to say about his dreams. The Lord was going to help Joseph, and Joseph would be able to interpret those dreams. He was going to do something that the magicians and the wise men could not. And the Lord helps all of us in that way. We can do things that people out in the world cannot do because they don't have their faith in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. So Joseph is saying, it's not anything I can do, it's what God can do. And we need to remember that. We can't do anything without the Lord's help, but through the strength of Christ we can do all things. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, In my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. And behold, there came out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kine did eat up the first seven fat kine. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears withered, thin and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears, and I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it unto me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kine are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land, and the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And he let them gather all the food, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt. Let the land perish not through the famine. So Joseph was about to turn the officials in Egypt there into preppers. And of course, that's the term that's often used for people these days who like to make preparations for hard times that may come upon us. And, you know, hard times probably will come upon us sooner or later, perhaps sooner than we think. It's still rough out there. I know the city of Detroit is on the verge of bankruptcy now. They've already defaulted on some of their debt, and there are other cities around the country that are in trouble, and bankruptcies have been declared, and entire cities, large cities. And I know Obama likes to say that everything's getting better and everything's fine and the economy is improving, but it's bad out there. So it's actually not a bad idea to be a little prepared. Maybe store some things up in the days of plenty, because there could be days of leanness in the future. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? It was kind of amazing. Even Pharaoh recognized that the Spirit of God was in Joseph. I know in Egypt they actually considered Pharaoh to be God, and yet Pharaoh could see that the real, true God was with Joseph. It's really amazing when you stop and think about that. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. So Joseph was going to be promoted to second in command in the kingdom of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, and Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. You know, frankly, if I had been Joseph, I think I would have been a little disappointed. I like the name Joseph better than what Pharaoh gave him. You know, his friends probably called him Joe, and what do you shorten that down to? That's quite a name. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. That must have been really something to see. Corn as plenteous as the sand of the sea. That is a lot of corn. Even more corn than they have in Iowa. And unto Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. So things were looking up for Joseph. Not only was he the second in command in Egypt, but now he had children. And children are a wonderful thing. I know a lot of times these days children are highly regarded, and especially in the United States, they say, well, if we're going to have kids, we'll only have 2. Personally, I'd like to have a dozen or so. I don't know if my wife would go along with that, but I think that would be wonderful. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all lands. But in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the lands. So this famine was very serious. People all over that region of the world were starving to death, and only Egypt had food. And that was because God had revealed these plans to Joseph, and he had set him in place there to make sure that the children of Israel would be sustained during this time period. See, that's what this was all about. God's people needed to be sustained. That's why Joseph was sold into Egypt. It looked as though something horrible had happened to Joseph, but God had a plan, and it was meant for good. Chapter 42. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do ye look one upon another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. The famine was so serious that they were on the verge of death. They needed food, and Egypt was the only place that had any. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. Of course, Benjamin was the other son that Rachel had given birth to, and Jacob loved Rachel, and thus he loved those two sons the most. And he thought that Joseph was dead, so he didn't want anything to happen to Benjamin, of course. He didn't let Benjamin go with his brothers to Egypt. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, whence come ye? So Joseph recognized his brothers right away, but he wasn't ready to reveal yet who he was. We'll see he had his reasons for that. And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said unto him, nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. And Joseph said unto them, that is it that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies. And of course, I'm sure Joseph wanted to see his little brother. And I'm sure he wanted to know how his little brother was being treated by his elder brethren. And that's probably one of the reasons that he is about to make this demand that they actually bring Benjamin to Egypt. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh surely ye are spies. And he put them all together into ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, This do, and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. So now they remembered what they had done to Joseph, and they thought, well, we're being punished for that. And they kind of were in a way, and actually it was Joseph himself who was doing the punishing. And Reuben answered them, saying, Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child? And ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. They had no idea that Joseph was right there listening to everything they said. And he turned himself about from them and wept and returned to them again and communed with them and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way, and thus did he unto them. You know, after everything his brothers had done to him, Joseph still loved his brothers, so much so that he instructed his men to return his brother's money to their sacks. He didn't want their money. He wouldn't take their money. He still loved his brothers after everything they had done to him. And they laded their asses with the corn and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, My money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, What is this that God hath done unto us? You know, because of their great sin, every time something happened that was bad, they wondered, Is God punishing us? And that's how it is from the life of a sinner. You know what they say, there's no rest for the wicked. They're always wondering, Is this God punishing me for what I've done? You know, if we have any sin in our lives, we just need to make sure we repent of that so we can find peace in our lives, and God will prosper us just like he did with Joseph. And they came unto Jacob their father unto the land of Canaan and told him all that befell unto them, saying, The man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly to us and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, We are true men, we are no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the lord of the country, said unto us, Hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver you, your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. Jacob at that moment must have felt like his whole world was crumbling and falling apart. But the Lord was going to turn us all into something good. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, Slay my two sons if I bring them not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in the which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. So clearly this was a very difficult situation for Jacob. He didn't want to let Benjamin go. He'd already lost Joseph, and if he had lost Benjamin also, that probably would have killed him. The grief of it. Grief can be powerful that way. Chapter 43. And the famine was sore in the land, and it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, Go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. So they told Jacob, Unless you let Benjamin go with us, we're not going. The man won't even see us. I'm sure this was very tormenting for Jacob. What do you do in a situation like that? There's no food. They needed to eat. And Israel said, Wherefore dealt ye so ill with me as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? So he's saying, Why did you tell him that you had a little brother? Why did you do that? And they said, The man asked us straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, Is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him, according to the tenor of these words, could we certainly know that he would say, Bring your brother down? And of course, Joseph knew that they had another brother, which is why he asked. You would think that these 10 men would have found that line of questioning a little strange. He asked about their father, and obviously Joseph wanted to know how his father was doing and if he was still alive. And Judah said unto Israel his father, Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou and also our little ones. I will be surety for him of my hand, shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time. And their father Israel said unto them, If it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds. You know, there was great famine in the land, so any food that you had must have been very precious. This would have been considered a very, very precious gift at the time. And it says a little of everything, a little honey and so forth. They probably only had a little. And take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks. Carry it again in your hand. Peradventure, it was an oversight. It's kind of interesting. It seems that they had plenty of money, but, you know, money doesn't do you a whole lot of good if you have no food. Take also your brother and arise, go again unto the man, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. So finally he just accepted that whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And of course, God was going to turn this into a very wonderful situation for Jacob. And the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, Bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. And the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house, and they said, Because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time are we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our asses. So this must have seemed very strange to be brought into Joseph's house. They didn't know what was going to happen. But this was going to have a happy ending. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house and said, "O sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food. And it came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. And other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks." And he said, "Peace be to you. Fear not, your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money," and he brought Simeon out unto them. So I'm sure they were feeling very relieved at that moment. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender. And they made ready the present against Joseph. And they made ready the present against Joseph came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house, and bowed themselves to him to the earth. And he asked them of their welfare, and said, "Is your father well? The old man of whom ye spake, is he yet alive?" And they answered, "Thy servant our father is in good health. He is yet alive." And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. Just like that dream, a dream which sparked such hatred of Joseph in the first place, it was now coming to pass, and they didn't even realize it, not yet. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your youngest brother of whom ye spake unto me?" And he said, "God be gracious unto thee, my son." And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. He couldn't contain himself. He actually had to go off and cry for a while after seeing his little brother for the first time. It was probably a very long time. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, "Set on bread." And they set on him by himself, and for them by themselves, and for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. That's really something. They wouldn't eat bread with the Hebrews, and yet the number two in command, the second in command, was a Hebrew. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. So I think what was happening there, Joseph was just having a little fun with them. Obviously, he knew their ages, and he knew where they should all sit. But I'm sure they were greatly surprised by that. They must have been wondering at this point, what is going on? And he took and sent messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. Now I can't help but wonder if Joseph was just kind of watching to see if his brothers were going to be envious of Benjamin too. I mean, Benjamin was getting all the attention, and he was given five times as much food as the rest of them. I'm sure this was a test from Joseph. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, "Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money." And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, "Up! Follow after the men, and when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, Wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Is not it in which my Lord, is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing." And he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, Wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servants should do according to this thing. So Joseph had instructed his men to put his silver cup in the sack of Benjamin. And we'll see that he had his reasons for doing that too. This was a little test as well. Behold the money which was found in our sacks' mouths. We brought it again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen. And he said, Now also let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless. Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground, and opened every man his sack. And he searched, and began at the eldest, and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. I'm sure at this moment they were just engulfed in fear. They knew how upset their father would be if they didn't come back with Benjamin. Their father loved Benjamin. He'd already lost Joseph, and there was no way they could return without Benjamin. So I'm sure they were wondering now, what are we going to do? Then they rent their clothes and laded every man his ass and returned to the city. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. Again, they bow down before Joseph, just as they had done so in the dream. And Joseph said unto them, What deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. See how they had to humble themselves? They had to humble themselves, and then once they had that humility, then Joseph would be ready to reveal himself to them. And he said, God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get ye up in peace unto your father. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidest unto thy servants, Bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidest unto thy servants, Except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, Go again and buy us a little food. And we said, We cannot go down, for if our youngest brother be with us, then will we go down, for we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. So Judah here is recounting to Joseph everything that had happened. And I'm sure that this was just really getting to Joseph as he listened to all of this. And thy servant my father said unto us, Ye know that my wife bare me two sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, Surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if ye take this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die, and thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, If I bring him not unto thee, then shall I bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father? And this was all that Joseph could take. Chapter 45, it tells us, Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them, and stood by him, and he cried, Cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. So he told everyone to leave except his brothers. It was time to tell them who he was. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. He cried so loud that everyone who was outside the house could hear it. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. This must have been the shock of a lifetime for his brothers. Here they had taken Joseph in hatred and spite. They threw him in a pit. They sold him into slavery. And they didn't know what had become of him. And now here he was, right before their eyes, second in command of the kingdom of Egypt. And Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. See how forgiving Joseph was? He still loved his brothers after all they had put him through, and he could see now, he understood now, why all of that had happened. You know, sometimes things happen in our life that we can't understand. We don't know why bad things happen to us sometimes, but sometimes bad things happen because something better is waiting for us down the road. Sometimes things have to happen just so. And God can turn everything around in your life. No matter how bad it may seem today, He has wonderful things waiting for you in your future. If not in this world, then certainly in the next. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a great posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. This was all part of God's plan to preserve the children of Israel. And ultimately what this did was preserve the lineage of Jesus Christ. For if the children had died, if the children of Israel had died, then the promise that God had made to Abraham would not have come to pass. So God had to do this for his children. And it was a great miracle. You have a wonder-working God, and sometimes we can't understand why He does things the way He does them. But we can't see the whole picture like He can. He knows what's going on. He can see everything. And He is in control. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And He hath made me a father to Pharaoh, a lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. There's an important lesson to learn from that too. You know, even if famine comes upon the land, hard times, the Lord will nourish us. He will provide for our needs. We can be sure of that. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is with my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto thy brethren, This do ye, lade your beasts, and go, get you unto the land of Canaan. And take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt. And ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye. Take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandments of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, See that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt, and came into the land of Canaan, unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. Can you imagine? Jacob thought that his son was dead, and his sons come back, and they tell him that Joseph is alive, and not only is alive, but he is a ruler in the land of Egypt. He's a governor.
Amen.
Jacob, he couldn't believe it. He was so surprised. He was stunned, and so much that he actually fainted, and he couldn't believe it. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, It is enough. Joseph my son is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. And he did. The entire family moved to Egypt, and God prospered their way. And, even today, we live in a spiritual Egypt, and despite everything that happens, and sometimes even though it seems like everything's against us, God can prosper us even in this spiritual Egypt that we live in this world. Before I close, I'd like to go to the book of Romans, chapter 8, for one verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 tells us, And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And that is so true. Sometimes we don't understand what's going on, and sometimes we might even start to wonder what God is doing, why he's punishing us, and sometimes when it seems like he's punishing us, it's not actually even punishment. It's just that certain things have to happen so that he can bless you.
Amen.
All things. It tells us, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. If you are the called of God according to his purpose, whatever Satan may devise against you, it will not prosper. God will help you, God will deliver you, and God will bless you. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the opportunity to study thy holy word. We thank thee for the many lessons that thou hast taught us from thy scriptures. We ask that we would not lose these words, but that thy word would sink down deeply into our hearts, and we would be mindful of thee, and that we would understand that no matter what may befall us, thou art in charge, thou art in control, and all things work together for good to those who love God. We thank thee, O God, for thy mercy and thy grace and thy many blessings. And we ask that thou wouldest be here with each and every one in this sanctuary, and each and every one who is online, and each and every one who will hear this message later. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
And we'll close with a chorus. Number 78 in the chorus book, Keep On Walking by Faith. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord, and you're dismissed unto prayer. Thank you.
Yeah, we were gone for 11 days, but we've always got something. We can throw something at a camp down there, and you make whatever you make.